Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined on the line by Andy Holding to look ahead to Sunday's Leopardstown card. What a card it is as well. There's one race in particular that, any fan of horse racing will pretty much be salivating over. That comes up at 2 o'clock. We'll get onto that in a minute. But first things first, good morning Andy, how's things?
Good morning Alex, yeah, very well, thank you. Yeah, it's been a while since we spoke.
It has. Did you have a good Christmas?
I did, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm enjoying the racing as well over the Christmas period. Leopardstown, of course, yesterday saw the Lexus. What a race that was.
I know. I spoke yesterday to Sam. I did the podcast with Sam. We did it after racing yesterday. Just saying how Bobsworth, I didn't have him down as not a speed horse as such, but one that could produce that turn of foot after jumping the last. But pretty taking, wasn't it? Certainly back to his best.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of when Tidal Bay won the race. Coming from a long way back and looking one of the most unlikeliest winners, but we know Bobsworth of old. He's very, very tough when he's in the zone, and yesterday he was very much back to his best. It was good to see as well, because we thought we might not get him back to the same kind of form that saw him playing the Gold Cup last year. So it's nice to see him and one or two young pretenders coming through as well. Like the Champion Hurdle, I think the Gold Cup's looking a very wide-open race this year.
Absolutely. You mentioned the Champion Hurdle. Of course, the Ryanair Hurdle coming up at 2 o'clock is something that'll give us a fair few pointers in terms of that. I was going to touch on it there, Andy. I'm so excited for that race. We'll start at the beginning, obviously, with the 12:25. We'll get to the 2 o'clock as quickly as possible. The 12:25 is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Really, really open race to start the card here, Andy. Where should we start here?
Well, we'll start with the last two winners, and previous winners, Ballydusk and Love Rory. Both of them won races slightly differing in abilities. And Ballydusk, a real solid jumper, usually makes the run-in. He's posted two very good times in defeat at Thurnies and in Victory last time out, when he beat Tico by a wide margin. Likely to go from the front. I do like the ladder rising as well. Chris Timmins, he's one of the new rising stars in the weighing room. Of course, this is for conditional jockeys being as a market stand opportunity race. So I've got a feeling he's going to shine on that 7-year-old. And the other one, Shane Butler, who rides in the Bulgers, Love Rory, who won a Banks race last time. I actually won the Risk of Thunder race at Punchestown on the 16th of November. It was the race where Stable Companion Keep on Track slipped up on the home turn and probably would have won had he stayed on his feet, but Love Rory took advantage of that. He's been quite well back this morning. It's quite a decent and competitive looking race. We've got Wrong Turn in there in the hands of Shane Shortall, of course, who has been associated with a lot of Tony Martin's gambles in recent times. I'm sure that one's going to be popular. Probably would have finished second last day down in Garry when he fell at the second last, but that was still not a bad run, given the circumstances. I quite like Quartetto here, however. The horse has run this track really well on a couple of occasions when he's lined up here at the Dublin venue. In fact, he finished second on his last start here behind, at the time, a very well-handicapped horse owned by J.P. McManus called Competitive Edge. Took all of Tony McCoy's skills to get Competitive Edge home on that occasion. Beat Quartetto, but I like the way Quartetto travelled through that race, and it seems that these big wide open expansive fences here at Leopardstown suit this horse. He looked as though he needed the run first time like the other day down in Clonmel. And it's almost as if Tom Taft's targeted this particular race, knowing that his horse goes really well at this venue, and the fact that he doesn't take his races probably as well as he used to do as a younger horse He probably only has two or three runs a season. And we've got Brian Hayes on board as well, who seems to good effect at all. Got that Avic the other day down in Downpatrick. So the combination of him and this horse should amalgamate quite nicely here and give Punters or Quartetto a good each-way run for the money.
Okay, then Quartetto with the pick there in the opener. Next up is the 12.55, a novice's handicap hurdle over 2 miles. The obvious place to start here, Andy, is with Sea Light. Davy Russell on board, Charles Burns charge, who arrives here looking for a hat-trick.
Yeah, he does, yeah. He's got this forcing fantastic nick. Well backed as well when he won on his second handicap start down at Thurles. I think it's always indicative when Charles Burns thinks he's got a very well-treated individual that they do get punted off the boards as if defeat is totally out of the question. And that was very much the case here on Boxing Day when this horse absolutely bolted up. Won a very competitive 13-runner handicap pretty easily. Took the running up going down to the last and quick and on demand on the running to beat Beneficial Spirit and Spacious Sky. Time of the race is okay. In fact, all the four hurdles on that card were pretty much similar. So there's certainly no negative from a speed figure point of view. Obviously, Davy Russell will be looking to execute the same tactics here, probably just track the pace and then put the race to bed coming down to the last. He's going to be a short price favourite. He's very much the most likely winner. But if you wanted to back one at a much bigger price, I've noticed that Pat Fry's team are in good form at the moment. He had a winner here the other day at Leopardstown with a horse called Western Boy. He's also won with a horse called Stack the Deck the other day down in Limerick. So his team's in good form. And Good as Gold also upheld that tradition with a good run the other day at Limerick beyond Emily Gray. Tom Hyde's got that horse in particularly good form, so it's certainly no disgrace to chase that horse home. But I like the way this mare travelled through that race. And with Paul Townend on board again this afternoon, she's got a good chance of at least picking up some pace money. And so I think it's around about 12, 14 to 1 this morning, Good as Gold. I certainly think she's worth a look at a much bigger price.
Yeah, Good as Gold, 14 to 1 at the time of recording, so certainly worth an each way look at the very least in that one. Okay, then, next up is the 1.30. It is the Ryanair Maiden Hurdle, 2.5 miles the trip. Rockdown looked a pretty smart smart prospect last year. Makes his seasonal reappearance here over hurdles. Just one non-runner to tell you about, Andy. I don't know if you've seen it, but Company Coming has just come out as we speak. That was one that perhaps could have given the favourites something to think about. What do you fancy here?
Well, I think Rockdown's a starting point, isn't he, for most punters in this race. We know that Gordon Elliott's team are in fantastic form. He had 3 winners here the other day on Boxing Day, and he probably should have won with Cause of Causes as well. It was very unlucky in the Paddy Power Chase, making it 4-for-4 on the day. That good run has continued yesterday with several of his inmates running really well, with distinction. And this horse makes his hurdling debut here, his eagerly weighted hurdling debut. Former point-to-point winner, who won a bumper down in Gowan, as you quite rightly said, on bad ground, so the conditions throughout Leopardstown should be fine. Interestingly, starting over 2.5 miles as well. He's not messing around over shorter distances. He beat a horse called Indy Van on that occasion. And although Indy Van has gone to prove that he probably wants better ground than he encountered on that occasion, William Mullins' charge has still got a rating of 137 now over a hurdle. So he was beating quite a decent tool on that occasion. He had to slug it out as well in the hands of Jay Mangan, because he was ridden fully over 3 furlongs out. But his stamina really kicked in late on, and he wore down Indy Van in the latter stages. Davy Russell takes the ride, first time out of course associated with the Giggingstown Stud operation. And it looks as though he's just got a couple of horses to contend with here, notably Blue Bicycle from the Desi Hughes camp, who was fourth to the very, very impressive now Philip Fenton trained at the Tullow Tank, has gone on to win 2 subsequent Grade 1s. So that form doesn't look too shabby, does it? I suppose you could argue that Blue Bicycle would be very well handicapped if he went into handicap company for Mark 112. That's probably a thing that Desi Hughes has probably missed about with. And the other horse with form is Shanahan's Turn, who caught the eye first time out over hurdles the other day down Raw behind a horse called Gilt Shadow. That form didn't really work out as well as we thought until Double Irish won out of it the other day. Gordon Elliott's charge was well beaten on that occasion. He bolted up at Leopardstown 2 days ago. So at least that form's took a timely boost for those at fancy Shanahan's Turn. I think he's probably going to need 3 miles in future, so this 2.5 and step up in trip from 2 miles are certainly playing to his strengths. So it's quite a little interesting matchup between the three. I'll stick with Rockdown because I'm very keen on staying with the loyal to the Gordon Elliott team at the moment. But it wouldn't surprise me if either one or two turned him over.
Okay then, rock down there in the 1:30. The 2 o'clock is the Ryanair hurdle. 2 miles the trip for this Grade 1 contest. 5 runners down to go to post. You've got 2 horses here in Captain CB and Thousand Stars, who are grand little horses in their own right. But, well, you'd expect them to be blown away by the big three here, Andy. We've got Hurricane Fly, who needs no introduction whatsoever, who sits at 5-4 at the time of recording. Our Connor, a horse that I know you think an awful lot of and did so last year, that is currently 2-1. And Jezky, who is a fine horse in his own right, 3-1 at the time of recording with AP McCoy on board. Where are you going to go with this one, Andy?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I think a lot of people nowadays tend to have their favourites down there in the jump game, and they tend to stay loyal to them regardless of the opposition. And without wanting to sort of pigeonhole myself into that category, I very much stuck my colours to the mast with Jetski from the start of the season, wanting basically to follow him through thick and thin, because I just really believe in this horse. I thought he should have won last year's Supreme Novices Hurdle, which was my fastest furlong per furlong time of the whole four-day festival, won by Champagne Fever, of course, and the form, as I thought it would, has worked out amazingly well. We've seen Champagne Fever win over fences already this season. My 10 to yours, of course, won the Christmas Hurdle. So it is working out as well as we thought. And on the same day, Jetski, indeed himself in finishing third, actually still beat Hurricane Fly, who won a very substandard champion hurdle in my eyes. And there was quite clear water between the two on the figures as well. The sectional times told you that the Supreme Novices Hurdle were the better race. So I do think Jetski's got a good chance of turning over Hurricane Fly here today, albeit Hurricane Fly amazingly 6-6 at the track. In fact, every one of the front three in the market here has got an unblemished record here at Leopardstown, so something's got to give today. Hurricane Fly 6-6, Jetski 3-3, and Arcana 1-1 as well. So this is a really mouth-watering affair. Obviously, Hurricane Fly still sets a very high standard. He's not going to be very easy to push over here on his home patch. Rated 175. Had to struggle on his first run this season at Punchestown, but I'm sure William Mullins has left plenty to work with. And he's very much the one to be. But I am a massive Jetski fan, and at the prices, I do think 3-1 represents good value. In fact, I'd probably back him each way here, because at least one of the three I'd expect to perform up to his A game today would be Arcana, who hasn't run since he ran on the 20th of October on the flat. He probably just might need the run here on this occasion. I certainly think if he does win here, you can definitely expect him to be champion hurdle favourite off the back of that. But Deddy Hughes, obviously, Charger hasn't had the luxury of having a run, whereas the other two have. So I'd expect Jetski at the very worst to finish second here, even if he doesn't win. He posted a good number the other day when he beat Zaidpour, who, of course, boosted the form with a win here yesterday. He travels well. He's got McCoy on board. And we saw when he won the Future Champions here last year that he's a very good horse on his day. So I'm hoping Jetski at least ruffles the feathers of Hurricane Fly. Certainly wouldn't be the end of the world if he didn't win. But I've backed Jetski for the Champion Hurdle. And I've got no reason to desert him today.
Okay then, Jezky the pick in the Ryanair Hurdle. The 2:35 is race number 5 on the Leopardstown card. A Grade 3 mares hurdle over 2.5 miles. The place to start here would probably be with Upsie. Willie Mullins charge, Tony McCoy on board. Unbeaten record so far, but she didn't really impress with her jumping last time out. Do you think she's vulnerable here?
Yeah, she's certainly going to have to jump with a bit more fluency than she did down in court when she made the run-in. She booted at least 2 or 3 down the backside and then almost went at the last to give punters a little bit of a scare. Obviously, McCoy takes over from Paul Townend today. And, she just keeps winning, ultimately, regardless of her technique. She's a very stocky mare as well, and I think the soft ground are playing to her strengths. Of course, she hasn't run around the track, which is the only slight negative I could see. She's got to stab a companion to contend with as well, Uticare. A little bit more of a wiry individual, a little bit more angular, but she's certainly got a good engine on the basis of that win the other day down in Navan. She was a previous prolific bumper winner over in France, and she can only beat what was put in front of her the day when she won at Navan, albeit it probably wasn't a great field. So it's a difficult one, really, for getting back out to care, because you've got to buy into the potential rather than the actual form in the book that Upsie's got. But away from the two Mullins horses, I don't think this is a two-horse race, as the market might indicate, because I've got a massive amount of time for Jailath Fahey's Jenny Jewel, who won for the podcasters last time out at a whopping 10-1 down in Navan, beating a power-packed field of in-form handicappers. Now, the great thing about this horse, she really, really loves a battle. She loves heavy ground. She's tough as teak. And on her only visit here at Leopardstown, she chased down a very useful mare called Glenn's Melody. trained by, of course, William Mullins himself. So, you know, that wasn't a run for suggesting that she isn't capable of at least causing an upset here. Around about 92, 5-1 this morning. Again, I'd like, similar to Jetski, I'd probably back this horse each way, even though we only get played out of two places. Because I'm hoping that one of the front two in the market at least underachieve, allowing Jenny's Jewel to get into the mix. And you never know, she should be good enough, or certainly is good enough anyway, on a day to cause a bit of an upset.
OK, then. We've got another Grade 1 contest coming up at 3:05. The Topaz Novice Chase, 3 miles the trip. Another really good race to look forward to here, Andy. Morning Assembly heads the market at the time of recording. But in Bright New Dawn and Carlingford Lock, we've got two very good horses. Obviously, Fox Rock, Mad Brian, Sizing Rio and My Murphy, the other runners. Hard to discount many in this race, Andy, but who do you think has got that sort of star factor that it takes to win this race?
Yeah, I think what you're going to take is the horse that will win this race is the horse that jumps the cleanest round. That's stating the flaming obvious, but I think any mistake here will be magnified. I don't think you can afford to make any kind of error, because in Grade 1 company you get exposed. But, you know, you've got four or five here, top-class horses, all locking horns, all come from different form lines, and they've all got the potential to make it to the very top. Of course, Back in Focus took this race last year, but we had a whole host of informed runners that lined up for this race that went on to Future Glory as well, the likes of Texas Jack, and we saw Lauren, of course, Legend as well, finished second in the RSA chase after contending in this contest. So I think even if you don't back the winner in this race, I think you've got plenty of reason to believe that you'll make money out of the runners in this race further on in the season. I think the starting point has got to be Morning Assembly, who's made a brilliant start to his chasing career. He always looks as though he would. In the hands of Ruby Walsh, he beat Don Cossack last time out pretty readily in the end, I thought he was always holding that runner on the running, and they were a long way clear of the third. His speed figures match up. The only negative I have is that I think all his best forms go in right-handed. He's actually 4 from 5 at Punchestown, which seems to be his best venue. I think if this race was at Punchestown, I think he probably would justify favouritism. But away from his favourite track, then, I think this is a bit of a more level playing field race. You can certainly give Carlingford Lock a shout. He's run well at this track before. Of course, he ties in with Don Cossack as well, having chased that horse home last time out at Fairy House in a quite good speed figure. The only slight concern about him is the trip, of course, he's yet to run over 3 miles, or prove that he stays 3 miles as well as he does 2 miles, 6, 2.5. And then you chuck into the mix the likes of Bright New Dawn, who's every inch of a chaser. I think he's the apple of Desi Hughes' eye. He's very similar to Lyrene Legend last year, who looked a very tough individual throughout the rest of the season. And he jumped well on his chasing debut at Punchestown. You've also got Fox Rock, who represents Ted Walsh. Ted's got a lot of belief in this horse that he can make it to the very top. He's had a couple of runs over fences as well, the last of which actually puts him in with a good chance on the speed figures, because he jumped really well and needed all his powers of stamina to withstand several challenges after he jumped the last at Fairy House. And again, he comes in here with a bit of a more than a squeak. I think he's around about 8-1 this morning, isn't he, Fox Rock, Alex?
Is that Fox Rock, Andy?
Yeah, Fox Rock.
13-2 at the time recording.
13-2, yeah, I'd probably go with him actually at the prices. I do like this horse. He jumps well, he's very solid, and like I say, speed figure wise, he's actually top of my numbers, Curtis, that run last time out. So even though I've given, you know, the other three a big powerful build up, I still expect Fox Rock to get in amongst them, and at that price I think he's worth a go.
Okay then, Fox Rock there in the 3:05. The final race on the card is the 3:35. It is a bumper over 2 miles. Value at risk, currently joint favourite for this one with Fort Smith. But Gordon Elliott's charge has been really, really well back this morning, Andy.
Yeah, I can see why. He's also going to be my strongest bet on the card as well. I want to get with Gordon Elliott's horses at the moment. And I thought this horse ran a promising race on debut in a maiden hurdle at Navan when he caught the eye, not being knocked about in the hands of Brian Cooper. I thought the patience and the kindness that was shown to him on that occasion will certainly be reaping its rewards as the season went on. And interestingly, he goes back from a maiden hurdle into bumper company as well. Very similar to a horse of his that won the other day by 39 lengths here at Leopardstown. That also finished fourth in a maiden hurdle before bolting up in a bumper. So it's a formula that has worked many times over for Gordon Elliott. He's got a good pilot on today. And I think his pilot would probably get the run of the race here, or the advantage of getting a good lead off the potential two front runners in the race, Value at Risk and Yes Sir Brian. Both horses have made the running before, particularly Value at Risk, who went off like a scalded cat the other day. I actually thought Richie Kiley had gone a little bit too quickly on him down in Fairy House. but he started him very powerfully in the latter stages, considering how hard he'd gone down the back straight. But I'm hoping that he serves up similar tactics today. Him along with Jesse Bryan are certainly going to make this a true run race, even though there's only six runners. And I think that'll help Fort Smith's stamina to come into play. Hopefully I'll just stalk the two and pick them off later on. So Fort Smith in the last, a very confident vote.
Okay, then Fort Smith, the nap there in the final race at Leopardstown. Promises to be a great day's racing. Thank you very much for your time, Andy. Best of luck with those selections, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Will do. All the best, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.